It's not black and white, and it isn't a magical, I mean, I guess it could be construed as a magical kind of help to sparkle in your life to employ these things. But I think overall, it just subconsciously will help improve and also remind what sparks your joy. And so therefore, it flourishes from within you and then outwardly, of course. What the hell is my job? I think I just kind of subconsciously picked up on it when I was 5 years old, 4 years old, when I had a friend down the street. I don't remember her name because she moved away when I was 7 or 8. But her grandmother was from China and her parents were gone during the day and the grandmother took care of her. And I went in her house and I'm like, what are these rainbows and crystal and silk chairs and mahogany and mother pearl inlay in the wood? And like, I was just like, this is like fantasy. This is magical land for me. Really, like, I connected with it at an early age from that point, but didn't know the name. So I used to live in China, teach there. So I also gained experience from there. The older crowd of like 60 and up, like in 2005, 6, 7, they really believed in feng shui, very much so, and took it seriously. But like the 20 and 30 year olds were like, eh, that's just, you know, hearsay, or it's just like, eh, I don't really believe in it. It's superstitious. But I always have my foot in the special needs community, and I have been for 20 years. I was a nanny and also a behavior therapist, also had an ABA therapy license, but I don't believe in that 100%. I believe in certain aspects of it, but it's not for every child. I'm more of the artsy side, not the scientific data track everything side. And so therefore, I think not only looking at behavior, looking at your environment and how it will best serve you and like what type of children you're working with and what are their needs with different spectrums of autism, right? So there's different children that I've personally worked with where, you know, a very zen-like environment with nothing on the table and only, you know, simple colors so that they can see things more simply and to do whatever they need to do, like studying or it depends on their age. So depending on the age, depending on their circumstances, setting, I look at that. So if somebody gives me a scenario of, okay, we have, you know, a 7-year-old that has ADHD and like, you know, I walk into their room and it's like red and jungle colors. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just test this out. Let's put blues, take out the red comforter, take out the red paint, the orange, the jungle theme. Let's just try like, you know, lighter colors, white, blues, greens, see how it feels. But I also incorporate like organizing and also being attached to objects and making space to make time for loved ones and having a very flow-like room for children. And also I've helped children that have ADD or ADHD slowing down the room with colors and placement of pillows, and they actually have gained more focus. So kind of implementing my teaching background, but also with my environment. And usually the child has more attention span, more focus on whatever they're needing to do. If it's, you know, 3-year-old puzzles, if it's 7-year-old, their homework, or even just engaging in social play, like when they have people over and having things organized helps the child's mind kind of focus more and also be attentive to what's going on around them.
Hey folks, it's Nethi. We'll be back with more right after this break. what the hell is my job?
I was teaching online and there was a girl and her older brother was like in the frame and they didn't realize that, like, the microphone on, and he's going, damn, oh, she is a beautiful woman, like, da, 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 like just saying all these things. And I was like, I think that better be fine is your homework. Like, please make sure, like, you're like acting appropriate, da, 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 da. But then because the other students heard him say that, the other students were like, well, she's a man, so that makes you gay, actually. Like, in this 16-year-old, this high schooler was now like mortified and embarrassed because he got called out for like thinking a trans woman is pretty. I definitely saw stuff like that happen a few times where the students would say something like that offhandedly and then like not know how to process or handle the teasing that was happening because of their peers, which is, again, like a story that's like as old as time. We hear that all the time, especially with like the murder of trans women and like, you know, DL men hooking up with sex workers, or even like with parents. At parent teacher conferences were always very awkward. I would definitely have like dads hitting on me at times at school, and I just wouldn't know what to do. It was really challenging, and there was like a lot of institutional issues just with education in itself that I had a lot of gripes with and struggled against, not even like as a trans person, and then like just transition made it all the more complex. And so every year I kind of ended up bouncing around to new jobs, just like constantly moving around, and it was really disorienting and just not really gratifying, which really sucked because teaching in itself I really, really enjoyed. Like when I was connecting with the kids and we were actually doing the thing, or if I was like teaching content that felt good, it was really rewarding. And then the moments that I actually experienced that kind of got fewer and farther in between, so I left. And I thought they'd be angrier that I like kind of left them hanging, and they were like, oh, thank God. Like, they did not care that I quit at all. They were so relieved. They've been trying to get rid of me forever. And I was like the union representative in our district, so they like hated me because I was like the tranny who knew the agreement and could like weasel my way back into a job. My kind of exit plan was to go into electrolysis for a few reasons, namely because my own electrologist is a trans woman, and she just seemed happy and successful and well-adjusted, and she's like one of the few trans women who I know that is over the age of 50 who seems to be doing well for herself. And that was just not, like, that was something I've been like talking about a lot lately, where I've really been struggling to see myself in like the older generations, or like what it looks like for a trans woman to succeed and be well adjusted like 20, 30 years down the line of her transition, just because it feels like most of us are either dead, dying, or detransitioned. Or like people just go stealth and you just never hear from them again. She was making more money than me and seemed to be killing it. And I liked that. I liked how removed from like the public eye she was. I hated being in such a public platform being a teacher. I hated the like responsibility of being a teacher and the like kind of moral like pedestal they put you on. I wanted to help trans people. I felt like I was doing that a little bit in public school with trans kids, but mostly I wanted to be like directly enabling, you know, like trans people in their transitions and in their lives. And so it does feel like there's a need for a practice where trans people just, where it's just chill. For a year now, I've been apprenticed to my own electrologist, and I dropped like 15 grand on all the machinery and stuff that you need. And I set up a little studio, and it's kind of taken off now. I finally kind of launched. My goal is to be able to work 2 days a week and have like two $500 days. And if I can do that, then I'll be making more money than I did as a teacher working full time. I remember being in my laser tech's office. It's like one of my like, you know, first few sessions. And, you know, we like finished up the session and I was just like really like raw. And she was like, how you feeling? And I was like, I don't know anyone who looks like me. I was like, all these trans women hate me. And I'm like sobbing in her office. And she was like, oh my God. Cause she like only worked on like trans women. So she like called up a bunch of the girls and was like, we're gonna go get coffee. And she like introduced me, but like to like a bunch of the dolls, and it was really cute. And yeah, it's like moments like that where I'm like, that's what I want to provide for my clients.
Hope you liked the episode. Please help us out by rating us, sharing with your friends, or buying us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/whatthehellismyjob. It costs us money and time to be here for you at the start of every single week. So please consider supporting us. See you next time.